Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Let's go today to our lesson. We're teaching the series, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And this is part number 3, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. We're going to talk about keys to forgiveness today. I won't get as far as victory over temptation today. We'll talk about forgiveness today, keys to forgiveness today. Luke chapter 11, open your hearts and minds. This will be a very important lesson. We're going to get to a part where we're going to explain why people act the way they do, why we act the way we do. We'll come to that. But Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Now it came to pass, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They came, they asked Jesus about prayer, and he responded. Now we go to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll pick up here at verse 8. He talked about how not to pray, to be seen, to be heard in the previous verses. Then he said in verse 8, Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, or in earth, I like the King James Version there, in earth, as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and then our text for today, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, forgive me of my debts as I forgive my debtors. Now, Luke's gospel says, forgive us our sins. We'll talk about what all that means as we get into our lesson on today. And I do want to give a little bit of review. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 Amplified Bible says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Perseverance means don't give up. Don't give in. Interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Now, we did a lesson on last Wednesday in the Bible study entitled All Manner of Prayer. Please go watch that lesson on YouTube or the podcast. It's on podcast as well, because we're in a season of praying, but also learning more about prayer. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So the more about prayer we hear, the better our prayers become. You believe that? And the more faith we have when we pray. So please get that lesson from last Wednesday. I'm going to skip all the way ahead to the slide that says, kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That was our first lesson, and that lesson brought forth the important aspect in our prayer. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in me, in earth, as it is in heaven. Well, the kingdom's in the midst of us and within us. But listen, it does not come to us without submission to his will. Amen. That's the point we took away from that first lesson. The kingdom is with us, in us, all around us. But yet, to be totally led by God, to be full of God's kingdom and presence, we need to then let his kingdom come to us. And that's through immersion. When you immerse yourself in God's word, in prayer, in the things of God, those things come, like learning a language. I shared about learning a language. Those who are fluent in languages, at some point you immersed yourself in a class or a discourse where you only spoke the language. So that you were immersed in French or Spanish until you almost began to think in that language. And so then that language came to you when you immersed yourself in it. And how much more do we, as next slide says, we want the kingdom to come to us in fullness, not just to have it around us or in our minds, right? Amen. So the key is submit our will to the will of God. Let's go on for today. Part three, the keys to forgiveness. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Such a key statement, such a key word. And then Luke chapter 11, verse 4 says this, and we forgive and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now, the sense of this part of the petition is, before you can really pray this part of the prayer, you have to have a sense of your own weakness, of your own potential to sin. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. So how can I forgive somebody else if I'm not sensitive to receiving God's forgiveness for myself? That is, I can't overlook my own issues and look at somebody else's issues. And so there must be a sense of weakness, not weakness as if we're weak overall, but that we are yet in this body. We're in this world. We have our same mind. We strive to be spiritually minded, but nobody is 100% spiritual. Amen? He's not talking about just financial debt here. We'll see in our Greek study here, our word study in a moment. It's not just about debt, financial debts, but really it's about sins. But before we can think about forgiving others, we can't comprehend forgiving others until we allow God to forgive us, until we acknowledge whatever it is he wants us to address. And we'll talk about, too, in a moment, why it's important not to have a sin consciousness. We'll also make that clear in our lesson as well. So sin is complex, and it tries to hide. Say that. Say, sin is complex. Sin is complex. And it tries to hide. Most people have a wrong conception of sin. We all would say, oh, yeah, that thief, that drunk, that murderer, that adulterer, that foul-mouthed person, that's a sinner. Well, we know that. That's obvious. But we call that low-hanging fruit, you know. We can easily pick on somebody who act a fool, all right? The problem is, what's complex about it is the sin of respectable people. It's the respectable folk. That's where human nature and sin have this complexity and this propensity to hide behind some kind of facade. And it's, again, we're not preaching that we are that way. I'm just saying this is what human nature can do. And so that we don't want to be impressed by anything other than Jesus Christ. And even to the point where we should be more concerned at the spirit that tries to simply boast and brag about who I am, what I have, because human nature does that often to cover up something else. We'll come to that later on. But it's complex. Say complex.
Complex.
Sin is complex, and it tries to hide. That's why, see, forgiveness sometimes is hard to get to because people don't get to the point of realizing the need for forgiveness. They haven't come to the point of seeing their need for God, covering up and excusing things, and therefore missing the opportunity to say, God, forgive me, cleanse me. Because they keep covering up issues that God wants them to address. Amen? Now, listen, through all of this, we must think about ourselves, not about somebody else. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Keep this the man in the mirror message. Amen? The woman in the mirror message. Now, I remember years ago, and I'm going to share an example of what I'm talking about. I remember years ago, there was a preacher who preached against sin, preached hard against sin. He preached he condemned, you know, people publicly. He just called people out by name, and there's a whole lot of preaching about what's wrong with everybody, including fellow Christians. And it always seems strange why I preach like that almost all the time, not all the time, almost all the time, and telling people where they could not go. You can't go here, you can't go there. And so even called another preacher, said that this guy is a cancer on the body of Christ publicly. But then what happened some photos surfaced of this same preacher going to a hotel room to see a prostitute. Or going with a prostitute into the hotel, this same guy. See, so like it was sad. And now he did repent, and that's a long time ago this happened. My point is, sin is complex and it tries to hide. And one of the things it hides behind is blaming other people. Finding fault with other people. It hides behind. That's one other thing. Not just one. It's a whole bunch of ways this thing tries to hide. That's why we need to be very clear about ourselves, because it's easy to point out what's wrong with somebody, even though we don't even know really for sure. But it's hard for us to see what we should deal with in ourselves. Amen. So, you know, we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. And that's another little thing. That's another little thing that sin hides inside of, you know, by good intentions. So again, we're going to just be clear, because Jesus said we should pray. Lord, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. This is what we do in prayer. Now, let's make this distinction. I may have had a plan to say it later. I'll say it now. I'm not talking about the sin nature. Christians do not have, well, here it is. Here's the slide. Followers of Christ do not have a sin nature. Please read that. Followers of Christ do not have a sin conscience. Thank you. Say that. Followers of Christ do not have a sin conscience. Now, that's true because we are born again. We're saved. When you live for Christ, you're not consumed with fear of doing wrong. We don't have a sin nature. Sin isn't in our spirit. Please hear that. Have to emphasize it, because I know there are people who preach you've got to get saved and saved again and all this. And in fact, Pastor Johnson would always say, growing up, you know, his dad would preach and he had a bunch of children. And he'd preach at those kids and all the people, and basically said, you know, get on the altar and get saved. Because in some movements, you lose your salvation every time you sin. So you're getting saved every week. Which is, no, you don't lose your salvation every, you know, no, salvation, no, your sin nature is one thing. We'll get to this point later on as well. I keep saying later on. So, but, you know, listen, Christians sin like this. Let me just say it now, because I want to be clear. You know how it is, how many of us, don't raise your hands, but how many of us take a shower or a bath every day? Everybody. Or wash up some kind of way every day. Wash up, shower, bath every day. Why? Because there's dirt on you. Yeah. And just by living in this world, dirt gets on you. Yeah. Things get soiled, right? We have to freshen up. We have to shower, because that dirt gets on us just by virtue of living in this world, of perspiring and all the stuff we do. We need to be cleansed. And that's how Christians sin. That we let stuff get on us. Attitudes get in us, our minds, right? Our spirit isn't dirty. But just going through life, dealing with situations, battling in your mind, dirt gets on you. You can go down the street, just driving down the street, and a big old billboard will be on the side of the street, you know, with some message or some scantily clad person. You know, it's just, it's all around you. You're watching a program on TV you want to watch. And they throw a commercial at you like a fiery dart against your mind, you know. Now, the fact is, we brush that stuff off. It doesn't change us, but it does affect us. That is, it doesn't take us down. But if we went like a month without daily prayer, without seeking God, walking with Jesus, all that stuff that gets on us in our minds would begin to affect us. Not our salvation, but affect your behavior. So again, that's why I want to say that we don't have a sin conscience. Go to Hebrews 10. Let's make this very clear. Let's set this up right now. I'm going to talk about sin here, the rest for a big part of this message. So before I talk about sin, let's talk about what you don't have. That is a sin conscience. Hebrews chapter 10, Verse 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect." That is to say, the methods that they had for Old Testament forgiveness, if you will, of sin, a person would sin, you bring an animal in, you sacrifice the animal and spill its blood as paying the price for the person's sin. But the thing was, animal blood never took away that person's sin, because it could not. So the people had to have the same sacrifices offered again and again, because animal blood could not suffice to remove the sins of people, only to cover, say cover. Not atone for. Atonement's what Jesus did, remove. But so that's why he's saying that in that day, those folk had a shadow of good things to come. That is, the sacrifice of the animal, of the lamb, was like the Lamb of God, Jesus, right? The shadow, but not the very thing. Is that clear? Amen. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered." Yeah, because so if animal sacrifices were helping the people, then the Bible says, "For the worshipers, once purged, would have no more conscience of sins." So if people were being delivered from a sin nature back then with animal sacrifices, they wouldn't keep coming back and saying, you know, "Pray for me again. I messed up again. I need another sacrifice. I feel so bad." Because they would be cleansed of that. Now, conversely, when we come to Jesus, when we're born again, the Bible says, "Old things are passed away, all things become new." Amen? We have what's called regeneration, meaning we have a new spirit within us, a new heart. The stony heart is taken out, and a new heart comes in, and we receive the nature and the spirit of God on the inside. Therefore, our conscience, our spirit, the conscience is the voice of your spirit. And so our conscience then is clear of sin. And so therefore, a believer in Christ, I mean, a genuine believer in Christ, truly born again, doesn't walk around thinking, "I hope I don't sin today. I can't go over there because they might make me sin." Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, "I'm afraid of this, afraid of that," and you know, all this kind of stuff. "I'm going to give my TV away, and I'm going to do all this stuff." And yeah, give your TV away. You'll find something else to lust after, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if it's sin, nothing you do is going to fix it. But if Jesus has changed your heart, your sin consciousness is gone. You think about how to serve God, how to bless people, how to take care of things, how to serve God's purpose. You're not consumed with what I can do next, what dirt I can get to next, how can I get to that party without somebody knowing me, knowing it, you know what I mean? Find somebody to cop for me. Y'all don't know about that. All that foolishness, you know, all that sin consciousness stuff. Not just the thoughts of sin, but trying to get into it. Plotting a way in, just plotting a way into stuff. Making plans and strategizing and hiding pieces of things, you know, all that mess. So if animal sacrifices could have purged a person's conscience and spirit, then they would have stopped making animal sacrifices. But the fact they had to keep doing it shows why we needed a Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of God. So John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Who takes away, say takes away. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. You took my sin away." So in one sense, you know, there is sin and there's sins. You know, sins are things people do, sins. But the sin is gone. The sin nature is gone. But Christians can do sins. We'll see here how that's possible here in a moment. Is that clear? All right. Very important truth to establish before I go into our next discussion. Now, let's talk about this. There are five different words for sin. So we're going to get heavy now a little bit. We're learning. Say we're learning. This is a theology lesson. That's what this is, okay? I'm not talking about make you worry about which kind of sin am I doing. No, no. You're going to find out what sin does to people, what sin nature does, and you'll be educated on how to help others by helping yourself understand how things work, how human nature. Again, sin is complex and it tries to hide. Amen. Amen. We're going to expose it right now. We're going to expose it. We're going to expose it. All right. The first common word for sin is harmatia. It's the most common word. And it literally means, it's an archery word that means missing the target. Most of us are aware of this, right? Missed the mark, missed the target. That's the most common word in the Bible for New Testament Bible for sin, missed the mark. To fail to hit the target was harmatia. Therefore, sin is the failure to be what we might have been and could have been. Now, again, in a person's nature who doesn't know God, their whole nature is bent to miss the mark, to miss every mark, okay? But for a believer, our sin in this light would be to miss something God wanted us to do, to miss some detail, to miss some instruction. You follow me? So we can sin in this way. We're not under judgment. We're not being lost, being condemned. It's just that we're recognizing that I missed the mark over here. And I thank you for the Lord showing me that. I'm going to repent of that, and I'm going to hit it next time by the grace of God, right? So it's a sin. It's sin like that, not sin like the robbers and the burglars and the murderers, but we have a higher standard, don't we? The second word for sin in the New Testament is parabasis, which literally means stepping across, a stepping across. Sin is stepping across the line which is drawn between right and wrong. Yeah, now this is actually intentional. I've heard discussions about willful sin, and I don't understand none of that, willful sin. I think all sin is willful. I don't understand why you can say, well, he didn't mean to do it. Well, why did he do it then? You know what I'm saying? Come on. So I can't deal with that situation. Again, sin is complex and tries to hide. I already told y'all that, okay? It tries to hide. So then this type of sin is stepping across the line. That sometimes people know you shouldn't go here, do that. Adam and Eve, right? God said, don't go over there. Don't eat all this fruit. Leave that tree alone. They crossed the line, stepped over, and partook of it. The third type of sin is paraptoma, which means a slipping across. It is the kind of slip which a man might make on a slippery or an icy road. Not as deliberate, like parabasis. Anyone can slip into sin when for a moment we are off guard. See right there. See, that's unintended sin. No, that's not what it is. Because you know good and well, if it is freezing rain and you go out and drive in that stuff, and you drive normal, you're going to slip and slide and have an accident. So it's not like, even though we didn't really plan on doing it, the conditions warned you. Now the conditions here are such that you could slip. So when you slide and wreck, don't say, well, I don't know what happened. The car just went. I couldn't control it. Yeah, that's true. But you were aware of the conditions that set that up for you. Follow me? That's why, a good example, COVID. People, don't wear the mask when they should and things like that. They say, I'll be fine, Why are you around people and not masking up? You don't even know these people. That's even worse. And I ain't going to say that. I just checked myself. See, I don't want to cross the line myself, okay? But thing is, see, so people, they wind up sick. I don't know what happened. Well, I won't say it's impossible not to always know, but I will say you won't get sick if you take care of business. You take care of yourself, do what you should do every single time, you're not going to get sick. Y'all believe that? Well, I believe it, in Jesus' name. I don't know about you. So my point is, you know, yeah, people slip, people fall. But again, oftentimes we are fully aware of the conditions. Maybe we're not sometimes. But that's why we pray. We pray to have the mind of God. We pray for God to show us things to come. Maybe sometimes we make mistakes because we are not praying. I've made mistakes saying yes to stuff and didn't pray about it. I just said yes because I like this person, like this, and let's do it. It was a big old mess because I didn't pray and I slipped. But I'm still responsible for the outcome. You follow me? Because what happens is, whatever way we make mistakes and sin and mess up, we are still responsible for it. We have to own it. I have to own it. We have to own it. The fourth word for sin is the word anomia, which means lawlessness. Anomia is the sin of the man who knows the right and who yet does the wrong. That's a lawless spirit. Now, a Christian is not going to sin like this, because this is in the nature of a person. You see, it's in a person's nature to consistently know what's right and do what's wrong. That is a nature issue, not just a, you know, something different. So again, these are all words addressing, again, sin is complex and tries to hide. The fifth word is the word used in our text, ophthalmia, which is the word in the disciples' prayer, and it means a debt. A debt. It means a failure to pay what is due, or a failure of duty. That's the kind of sin that's mentioned in the text. All right? Well, looking at all these, we can see why we pray. We pray, we seek God, because our human nature wants to hide things that we need to clear ourselves from. It wants to justify itself. I mean, again, the most godly, the most spiritual persons, the most prayerful persons, I mean, we have to wrestle with this. Now, we wrestle less with it. Matter of fact, here's the good news about praying every day. When you pray every day, these things come up, right? At the time of prayer, you get to address stuff before the day starts. That's why prayerlessness is so dangerous, to go day after day after day and not addressing matters that should be addressed. And the mind becoming more and more subject to carnal influence and so forth. So when we pray, for example, in unforgiveness area, Jesus said, when you pray, you come to me and remember you have a problem with somebody. He says, stop. When you bring that gift, stop. Go make it right, then come back. Right? He said, so then that's why when you pray, you seek God, it's an opportunity to clear your heart, clear your mind, take care of your personal business with God. And don't let that sin hide anywhere. Just get rid of it. Amen. Get it out of your life. Amen, somebody? Because again, we're believers, and we're not discussing sin as part of our nature, but that sin in the course of life, things that come up. All right, those are the five sins. Now, here's good news. Well, first of all, a bit more bad news first, all right? Sin is a universal disease of the human nature. That's a pretty bold statement, but it's true. That's true. Sin is a universal disease of the human nature. But in Christ, we are forgiven and cleansed. Say amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There it is. And therefore, we as believers, the old sin nature has passed away, the old behaviors, habits, things can pass away. We get our minds renewed, we think better, speak better, live better, and become free from all that stuff. But still, the potential is there for us, like we go about all day, we have to shower every day, bathe every day because we get dirt on us just by living in the world. And so as Christians, we pray every day because we get dirt on us by living every day. Especially if you're at work. If you're at work, for example, and it's one of them kind of days where the devil get up in people, you know. The devil get in people at work sometime. One of those days, you know what I'm saying? All up in them. And they come around you with that stuff in them, right? And you handle it, you know, you handle it. And you keep down your anger, you keep down, you know, telling them off and this kind of stuff. Whereas you do what's called the Nabal factor. Remember Nabal?
Yeah.
Nabal, okay, for the audience watching, Nabal was the husband of a woman named Abigail. And David was going to send some men through his region, traveling, and David remembered, oh, Nabal's over there. I helped him. So when you go by Nabal's house, ask him to help you. He'll give you some food and stuff. They came by, Nabal said, we don't know David. I don't care about no David. Word got back to David. David got mad. David said, what? He said, what? So David said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And David was kind of, he's a little bitty guy, but you don't want to mess with him. He's one of crazy little guys. Okay, that's what he was. So David said, I'm going to kill this guy. And was taking men to go kill Nabal. His wife Abigail found out, came out to meet David with food, and said, David, don't kill my husband. His name is Nabal. Nabal means fool. My husband is a fool. Don't kill this fool. True story. She said, don't kill this fool because you are destined to be king. Why should it be said after you become king, you kill the fool? So that's why we say Nabal factor, right? So you think it. If you're around somebody really acting stupid, you think Nabal factor. If you have to, just say Nabal factor. They say, what do you mean? Say, don't worry about it. Just drop it on them and leave him alone, right? I'm saying, I can kill you. I can kill you with words, with arguments. I can take you down a number of ways. But why? What's the point in that? Because then it goes in my record. I killed a fool for nothing. And God killed Nabal anyway. God dealt with Nabal. So again, that's why you're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And do not let that old sin nature try to get back a hold and control of your mind. That's why when you encounter people, you go back home or break at work and you pray. You pray and push that thing back off of your mind, right? Push that stuff out of your mind because you don't want that to accumulate in you. Now, if you can wait a whole day and pray in the morning, fine. But most times, you got to pray the same day. It depends on how you're wired, you know what I'm saying? Sin thrives on outward respectability in the sight of man, yeah. So sin wants to hide, right? So it tries to thrive on the outward respectability, but God always sees the heart. And praying this part of the Bible prayer daily keeps us sensitive to the deceitfulness of our own carnal mind. None of us are 100% spiritual. Walking with Jesus keeps our conscience clear. And if we sin, we follow the Apostle John's. Well, I can't stop. If we sin, we follow the Apostle John's instruction. Next slide. We'll finish here. This is important because we know that we have no sin nature. We don't have a sin consciousness. But that we live in a world where we're impacted by so many things. And our own minds play tricks on us sometimes. So he said this in 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is so key, and we'll take up chapter 2 next week, Lord willing. But listen, we who follow Jesus, again, don't have a sin nature. But we get dirty. Like we get physically dirty, we get mentally, emotionally, things get in our minds and affect us. And so that's why he says, if we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie. So then a Christian, listen, can have fellowship with Jesus and then walk in darkness. That is, darkness isn't in them, but they're walking in it. They're trifling with things that are not of God, not good for you or God's purpose in you. But people say that I have fellowship and walk that way, they're lying. Because fellowship means I'm with Jesus and I'm taking him where I go. He's not going with you into that stuff. So your fellowship is broken. Say broken fellowship. See, broken fellowship is not becoming unsaved. A person can lose fellowship with Jesus and not become unsaved. Please hear that. Like you can, people lose fellowship with family members, right? You're still family, but the fellowship's broken for whatever reason. He says, good news, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, this is my shower. Say, this is my shower. This is my shower right here. Your shower is when you fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. And the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. See, the blood's already saved your spirit, but the blood continues to cleanse. The blood never lost its power. The blood continues to work. The blood continues to cleanse. Cleanses us from all sin. Sin, all types of sin. All five of those sins. All five of those we talked about. This is good news, y'all. This is really good news. This is why people who don't pray, who do not worship God, who don't fellowship with the saints when they can. I mean, we are in COVID, so people are at home, but they're still fellowshipping with us online. That's fellowship, it is. But when people don't do any of the above, I mean Christians, then what happens is, for one, they're walking in darkness, they're living a lie, and they're missing out on cleansing. Now, I don't know what the consequences are to not being cleansed, but it couldn't be good. What, I mean, amen. I can't say, I don't know, I'm not God, but there have to be a bad consequence to not being cleansed, and a person is not cleansed. Listen, a believer is not cleansed without fellowshipping with Jesus and God's people. Please hear that. It's Jesus and God's people, because the body of Christ edifies each other. We're not islands unto ourselves. Jesus is my pastor. No, he's not. You don't say he's your Lord and Savior. That's a different function. We still need accountability. Amen. We need people in our lives loving us and correcting us and encouraging us. Amen? Amen? When people lack that, they lack cleansing, and they get dirtier and dirtier. So I'll leave it at that. And let's thank God again that walking with Jesus keeps our conscience, our lives clear. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God, of the cleansing power of fellowship with you and with the body of Christ.